Hello, growers of the world. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. Jordan River here. Today's episode is a GrowPass member podcast. We had to switch some stuff around. If you follow the show, you know we don't take breaks with our content for holidays. COVID hasn't slowed us down, but we had to rearrange some stuff. So today's is a GrowPass. Apologize for that. We will be back to our regularly scheduled GrowCast at the end of the week here, Saturday. And you can look forward to some great episodes coming up here. We have Dr. Coco coming back. We have Stephen Reisner returning, who we love. Terp Fiend making a second appearance, and more. So make sure to stay tuned. Also, make sure if you're listening to this show to join our giveaways. We do two giveaways a month now. So you need to make sure to go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway. And you can win yourself some fish shit. You can win yourself some M3. We give away all sorts of stuff. And if you go there right now at the time of this recording, you can win yourself another trim bag. That's right. We gave away one trim bag already, and now we're giving away a second trim bag. So if you need to trim a lot of bud quickly and still have a nice, beautiful end product, you need a trim bag. Go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway. Get yourself a trim bag. The drawing will go down May 20th. So a week from today, actually. And let's see. So today we are talking with Rizo Rich on the member podcast, as I said, about strain selection. And he gives four in-depth strain reviews. And I really, really liked this episode. So I thought I'd share it with you guys tonight. Before we get started, let's give some love to Green Goddess Supply. GreenGoddessSupply.com is where you need to go. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off any accessories at GreenGoddessSupply.com. MyGrowPass.com members getting 25% off. I'm there right now at GreenGoddessSupply.com. They've got hemp flower, CBG oil, cone makers, CBD hand sanitizer. It's kind of a hydro shop / smoke shop / CBD supply store. And of course, check out their flagship armoire. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful design. See if the armoire is right for you. Vapes, pipes, bongs, grinders, everything you need. GreenGoddessSupply.com. Promo code GrowCast for 10% off. Members of MyGrowPass.com getting 25% off. All right, everyone. Let's get into the show with Rich. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the program. On all the strains that I want to grow. So I want to do some in-depth strain reviews today. You're doing some testing that's incredible. You're also doing some, just growing popular strains that people can go out and buy. So let's dive deep into maybe four of your favorite strains from your favorite breeders. Talk about how they grow, talk about how they flower, how they may be unique, and of course, most importantly, how they smoke. My God, man, that last bag that you bestowed upon me. I was lucky enough to smoke many of Rich's different strains that he's cultivated in his patented super soil. I can't even describe, man. Really, really good stuff. That is some of the best cannabis I've ever consumed. A wide variety of strains. Well done, my friend. Let me just put it that way.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I did do quite a few different kinds last round, so.
Yeah,
that was interesting. I think it was like 14 different ones. So
why don't we do, before we jump into each individual strain, let me ask you this, that just spawned a question in my head. With your super soil that you use and your microbial additives, did you find yourself having to tailor make any, like, did the strains require any different sorts of top dressings, have any peculiar deficiencies, or did they all do well in the super soil?
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah, they all did really well. However, yes, I did have to tweak some top dressing with certain ones here and there throughout flower. Some, you know, were right before flower. Some needed a little bit more gypsum for some more calcium. Some I would top dress with some extra sustain, that composted turkey litter. It's like a 4-6-4, or nice. They have an 8-2-4 as well, which I like to use. That one more so in veg, and then a little bit of the 4-6-4 top dressed in before flower if I feel like, you know, the plant's going to need it. So, yeah, I definitely have had to throw some extra stuff in there for some right before flower just to be sure that they're going to be able to push through.
Okay, nice. So how did you know that you needed to add the gypsum?
You know, some of these strains were ones that I've grown in the past. So I was just kind of able to tell, look, you know, by a couple weeks in the flower, they're going to be looking like they need some CalMag or some calcium. Usually those ones I'm trying to feed coconut, certain coconut waters too, that have a lot of calcium and magnesium in them to catch up. We're not having enough put in the soil. So, you know, this round I wanted to be sure and threw some in right before flower to make sure that they had some extra stuff in there. And I wasn't trying to do that last minute, which it works, but it's not the best fix, you know.
Right.
It's not the easiest, the cheapest, and it doesn't work the best. It doesn't make the plants look great, but it does get the job done. It'll help you get through if you need to, if you can find the right coconut water. But
that's cool, man. That's great advice. And you said that when you're doing the gypsum, that was just a top dress.
Yeah, it's almost like a granular too. So I would just mix up a little bit of the super soil, and then I'd throw some extra gypsum or extra sustain or both or anything else I wanted extra to throw in there. And then I just do a little top dress, like, you know, one or two handfuls around the base of the plant, and give it just, you know, a handful or two of dirt, and it would have all that top dressing mixed in. And
nice.
They really seem to like that, you know.
You in 5 gallons?
Give them a little bit. Well, I'm in beds. That round,
I'm sorry. I did have
a couple fives or sevens, I think, but most of them were in beds.
Right. Yeah, I remember you had sick bed going on.
They're really fun, the sit beds.
That's cool, man. So yeah, one last question before we dive into these four. Do you think it's ever a good idea to do super soil in like a 3 gallon pot, or do you think people are going to run into problems every time? Do you have a minimum pot size you recommend for people who are doing living soil?
I mean, you know, I've done it in ones, threes, fives, sevens, tens. And the bigger you go, the easier time you're going to have, the less of a chance of having a top dress or issues you're going to have, because there's more of a buffer zone in there. Threes, I definitely wouldn't do. Fives are pushing it. You know, if you're going to go from a 3 gallon to a 5 gallon, and that's going to be your final pot, then I would transplant it and probably flip very soon after transplant. Yeah. Just to, you know, make sure that you're getting a lot of what's in that soil during your flower, because it's probably going to get eaten up pretty quick. But, seven or 10 really seems to do the trick. And when you go above there, it's super easy. Then you're basically just giving water and not top dressing anything, which a lot of the beds I was able to do that. You know, there was a few plants, like I said, I top dressed, but most of the beds I could just leave, because they were in, you know, enough soil that they just stayed green the whole time. And I didn't have to do anything to them but give them water.
Yeah, sick, man. That's the dream, right?
Love the beds, man. I love the single pots too, though. I'm not going to lie. They both have their advantages.
Yeah, that bottom feed system is cool, though. For maybe someone who just jumped in, we got a lot of new members jumping in. Go back and listen to that episode where we talk about Rich's feed system. And yeah, pretty cool stuff, man. I think it's like 2 episodes ago, maybe. All right, let's talk strains, man. Where do you want to start? I've tried all of these, right? Did I get the key lime? I know I tried. Yeah.
I think all the ones I'm going to talk about you've tried. I think I got you most of everything. There's a few that I have to the side that just for me and you for sure, but that I don't think you've tried yet. They were just small testers that I think I flowered out in 1 gallon.
That's so cool you're into testing.
Didn't get a whole lot off of.
That's dope.
But yeah, it's fun, man. It's not for everybody, but it's fun, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. Yeah. And maybe we can dive deeper into that and all the positives and negatives of testing. But for now, let's start with Granny Skunk. My God, the Granny Skunk, man. What a wonderful, wonderful strain to smoke. I guess we should start with how we grow it, but I just want to say off the bat, one of those classic, like bright green, just beautiful, like a classic marijuana bud look.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, truly one of the more beautiful ones that doesn't have a lot of color going on, but still has that beautiful look to it.
Yes, it glows like that classic style. I don't know what I picture when I think of it in my head of a, you know, cannabis plant, but
yeah, like a cartoon cannabis plant, like just green,
yeah, it's
bright green.
It's a beautiful one. It's super limey green and covered in white frost. And you know, like you said, it doesn't have a lot of purples or anything like that to it, but it keeps that really beautiful green color and frosty color and a really nice taste.
I mean,
it's a very fun strain.
Seriously, on the consumption side, goddamn, I give it a 9 out of 10. First of all, who bred Granny Skunk? Who is this, a Jinx strain?
Granny Skunk is by Duke Diamond, or Dominion Seed Company.
Oh, that's right. Damn it.
And in veg, it was a very, very easy plant to grow. One thing, and here's the cool thing about Duke Diamond packs, is when you buy them, it's not like any other pack you're going to get. It has the most in-depth description of the strain you're buying on the pack when you purchase it. I mean, he goes in paragraphs about it in specifics, and I really wish I would have taken the time to read it beforehand.
That's cool.
And after I grew them, I had brought something up to him and went back and read the packs, and actually says it on the packs. But one thing with Granny is you don't need a bunch of intense light. It really likes low light, which I noticed it did really well, because when I put it in the corner of the tent, kind of furthest away from the light, it just seemed to flower out perfectly, big, chunky, huge buds, like it was directly underneath the light. So then the next round I had put it, you know, I was all excited and thinking I'm going to do a bunch of these plants, and, you know, made them their own little 4x4 area and had quite a few of them directly under the light, and they did terrible. They just did not like having that really intense light.
Oh, that's a
right
great
above them,
note,
it seemed
man.
Like.
That's
so
a fantastic
if
note.
You have, you know, not a super strong light, or, you know, it's a very good strain to grow, I would say, because you don't have to make sure that you have a ton of light going to it. It doesn't need a bunch of photons, you know, raining down on it.
I was just going to say that. And, you know, that's fascinating and kind of points to a question that's come up a bunch of times. And I know I've talked to you about it, Rich, which is how come some people do so well with lights that everyone agrees are terrible and like have tested terrible. But then here they're growing this incredible, maybe it has to do with their genetics, not really minding that low output.
Yeah. I've noticed, you know, this was one of the first ones I grew that really I could strongly tell, like, this thing does not like intense light. And it actually says on the pack that it does better in lower light, which, like I said, if I would have read that beforehand, I would have known without having to see it for myself, but kind of glad I did, though. It was a very interesting observation that you could see it, you know, physically see that kind of thing going on, and that totally. It just wasn't digging the intense light, but it loved that corner of the tent. It just threw the most prettiest frost-covered big chunky bud.
Fucking fascinating,
you
man.
Know?
Super fascinating. Anything you needed to do to tend to it as far as...
No, not at all. I topped it once and it grew perfectly.
Yeah.
Both phenos that I did were like that. You know, they were completely different taste and look wise, but they both didn't like intense light, and they both, you didn't have to do a whole lot with, you know.
Granny Skunk. And anyone can pick this up from Duke Diamond.
Yeah, and you can get that from Duke Diamond. I want to say it's a little bit pricier for the packs. Like, they're $100 to $150.
Fucking worth it.
They're totally worth it. And you get, you know, it's a 12 pack, but he always gives you like 13 seeds. So you get a huge pack for your money. And there's a lot of times if you go to Seeds Here Now, which is like his, one of the places he sells, you could get like 2 packs for $1. Sometimes they have deals like that going on, which is what I did. So you can really still get it and get your money's worth a lot of the time. And even if you just buy it full price, it's totally worth it. It's still, you know, you're getting a lot of seeds for your money for sure. And they're 100% worth it.
Nice. How did it do? How did it look? How did it smell flowering? And how did it do in flowering?
Did really, really well flowering. It looked beautiful. All the pictures I put up, everybody liked. I mean, it looked really, really, really frosty. You know, smell wise, it really wasn't terrible while it was growing. It was more once it was clipped and hanging, which is kind of what I remember from the old Afghani, which I think, you know, it does have some Afghani in it that, you know, it stinks more once it's pulled down and curing. But yeah, in veg and flower, it wasn't a bad one on smell.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. How long did it go?
You know, it wasn't terrible. I'm not going to lie. I'm not one to sit there and count specific days like I should and like most people do, but I want to say it was around 60, 65 days.
Okay. Okay. Right on.
Maybe 70 tops on the one pheno, but yeah, I think I pulled the other one down between 60 and 65.
Nice. And then you did your patented 60-60 cure on that one, which is for those who may just be joining. It's a, we've talked about it in previous episodes. It's a little bit risky when you're drying in a cooler and more humid space, because you're, let's be honest, increasing your risk of developing mold.
Absolutely.
But it seems to really bring out and preserve some of those more volatile terpenes that normally get lost in a grow that is maybe a little bit warmer and a little bit more dry.
It does. And color, I've noticed, you know, it keeps a lot of the prettier colors in the buds. Interesting. Versus it curing at a warmer temperature.
That also makes sense. And then the end smoke of this thing, where do you rank it on your, of all the strains that you've grown and given me, it's probably in my top five.
Yeah, I was going to say it's in the top ones for me, because it's a old school kind of high for me, you know, it like hits you behind the eyes and
you get,
it reminds me of, you know, getting stoned back in high school. So it's up there for me too. It's a top one. And all the ones I'm going to talk about today, I feel like are top. Like, I feel like they're going to be different price ranges, but you're going to be getting quality in all of them. Like, none of them are going to be lesser than the others, I don't think.
If people dig through your Instagram, can they find these pictures?
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of granny skunk pictures on there, and there's some really, really pretty ones. I think that one, two runs ago, I put a lot of pictures up of that one.
So at Rizo Rich underscore... Wait, Rizo underscore Rich underscore ICC. And you can go through and maybe look by pictures and then search for the names of these strains if you want to get a little visual. That's perfect.
Definitely.
Yeah, love it. Well, let's move on, because we got three more to go here. So the next strain that's coming up, another Duke Diamond strain, I believe, Munson?
Yeah, Munson. That was a really good one, too.
What's up with the name Munson? Where does that come from? Is that a city in Indiana?
I cannot remember. It is named after something. I want to say something to do with Star Trek or...
Oh, really?
God, I'm going to have to look, but it is named after something. Very gassy strain, though.
Oh,
very good one.
Nice. Fuck yeah.
Fun one to grow, too, as well. Definitely worth every penny. That was the free pack that came with my granny skunk, actually.
Oh, no shit. Yeah.
It is available to buy as well by itself, but yeah, it was like a twofer deal that I got.
That's a potent strain, man. My God.
It is, man. I was surprised because I got two different phenos and they both just came out, depending on what one, they like, you know, under different lighting, I noticed that strain does express differently, but it comes out really, really gassy. So that's a very interesting one too.
Nice.
Matter of fact, I don't think I gave you any of the other pheno. I'll have to give you some of that one because that's the one I really like. And that one's just super, super gassy.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, now I'm looking at pictures, so it's now I'm drooling. Seems like the trichome coverage is insane on this. It's got those beautiful dark leaves too. Let's start at the beginning though. How did it veg? What did you do as far as caring for it in veg, trimming it, topping it, things like that?
Yeah, so I noticed with this one, you do not have to do a whole lot. It has very, very tight internodal spacing. It grows slower. So it's not something that's going to get huge really fast. At least the two phenos that I have going of it are very slow growers. You know, I've like I was telling you before, I actually had to take the one pheno out of the tent this run because it couldn't keep up with all the other strains around it because it was just going so slow.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely something I would recommend for somebody who's only running that strain, or if you have a smaller area that you're growing in, it would be perfect for that.
Yeah. Tight noted squat plant. The standard stretch is like
very,
half.
Very, very, oh man. You know what? Honestly, the one pheno I have, I wouldn't even say half. I mean, it's like it almost doesn't even stretch. You flip it and it's like it just keeps doing its thing. And then all of a sudden there's buds on it. So it's a very short, squat, tight internode. It's just very good for somebody who has a smaller tent or not a lot of ceiling height. Like I said, if you're going to try to grow a bunch of other strains around it like I'm doing, that's probably not the best thing to do because it might not be able to keep up. But it's great if you like shorter, squatter plants. And it is gassy as hell. It tastes really good. And there's another pheno that has a little grape gassy flavor to it. So there's some different flavors and different expressions you can get out of that one. It's a very, very good and fun plant to grow. I I keep it around because I love it. So even if it can't keep up, I'll keep it in clone form till I can run it again. And, you know,
sick, man.
Have the room.
Do you not need to train it so much? I'm reading that it's got some thick branches to keep up the buds. And it's, if it's short.
It does. It has some very thick stalks and branching. You really don't have to tap it or do anything. If you do tap it, it definitely wouldn't hurt or anything, but this is one where you can just let it do its thing and get big Christmas tree buds, you know, or you can tap it and get more branches on it for sure. But I wouldn't tap it any more than one time. It's just going to slow it down way too much.
Yeah. Oh, loving these pictures. Oh, totally drooling.
And it doesn't flower slow. So, you know, just because it veges slow, like it doesn't mean it's going to flower slow. Doesn't mean it's going to flower slow. It still flowers pretty fast. I can't remember exactly how many days, but it kept up with everybody else. So far as flowering times go, and I don't usually let anybody go past 70, 80 days.
Yeah. I'm reading 60 to 68 here.
Right. I was going to say about 60 probably to 65 on that one too, but definitely not higher than 70.
As far as consumption, I was super impressed by the potency. It definitely has the, like you said, kind of gaseous smell and a little bit of the skunky sour smell. And then what I noticed on the Munson flavor was the exhale lasts. It's almost like a bitter, savory coffee taste. And it like lasts in your mouth for quite some time, I feel, after the exhale. Really one of my favorite ones to smoke.
It's unique for sure.
And again, beautiful. I would say similar in the classic cannabis look, but then it has the dark, dark leaves that I love so much that you might see on like an OG, those like triangular, short, dark leaves.
Right.
But these I feel like are a little bit longer and spikier. I'm a big fan of that spiky nug structure. Yeah, good things about the Munson.
If you're looking at it on there, does it happen to say what the cross is? Isn't it like a Northern Lights or something?
Yep. NL5 and Dominion Skunk.
Okay.
So yeah
you
right
can
on.
Really see the Northern Lights come out in it, I think.
And I'm not usually a fan of that strain, so it's interesting that I like this cross so much. I love Skunk, so maybe the Skunk stepped on the Northern Lights.
I think it lends a lot of itself to it for sure.
I had like a paranoid episode in Vegas on Northern Lights once, and it was like, I'll make sure to tell that story once. It's like ruined that strain for me. Time to give it another try. Gotta let go of my baggage. Dude, I love that you've picked two strains with such unique peculiarities so far. Granny, if people are concerned about their light not being strong enough, or if they want something off in the corner, like the low light strain, fucking great that you brought that up. And then Munson, if you're a fan of Growcast, like a longtime fan, Wolfman always talked about his worst plight during his growing career is he was always growing in basements with low ceilings and like running out of room to raise your lights as your plants grow. Munson's a great choice for those in a fucking limited height space. I love it.
And you know, and really with the granny, I mean, it's good for anybody who in their room, you know, it can be the plants on the outer edge of the light. The
totally.
Stuff that doesn't get the most light. It would be the perfect strain to be that one, you know, the edges kind of deal.
Yeah. If you're looking to pack in your room and you want some shit around the edges, now you've got the strain right there, baby. Two great Duke Diamond strains. I believe both available seeds here now. I'm looking at Munson.
Yeah.
So yeah, check it out, guys. Fucking, this is exactly why.
Very underrated strains for sure.
Love it. Okay, before we return to Rich, we have to shout out Gorilla Grow Tent. Just go to GorillaGrowTent.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you free shipping on any order. And MyGrowPass.com members get 10% off plus free shipping. Did you know that Gorilla Grow Tent sends you tents that come with a free 1-foot height extension kit if you need it? And if that's not enough, Gorilla Grow Tent has 2-foot height extension kits out there, allowing your tent to reach an astounding height of nearly 10 feet? Did you know that Gorilla Grow Tent is the tallest, thickest, and strongest grow tent on the market? Well, now you do. With thick, durable canvas, steel interlocking poles, easy view windows, industrial strength zippers, and double cinching ducting ports, each tent is safe, smart, strong, tall, odor-proof, stealthy, insulated, and durable, truly transcending the term grow tent. Plus, they were generous enough to give away one tent for every single one of our quarterly giveaways, which we are bumping up from our 5K giveaway to officially now our 6K giveaway, getting better all the time. GorillaGrowTent.com, promo code GROWCAST for free shipping. MyGrowPass.com members getting 10% off plus free shipping. Gorilla Grow Tents, everyone. Let's get back to the show. We're moving on to a different breeder now, though. We're moving on to Jinx Proof, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, legit.
Yeah, that one, legit, is what it's called. And I want to say it's Hit Girl Cross to Exotic Genetic Mike's.
Crap,
Dark
man.
Side of the Moon.
I mean,
very, very, very fun strain. I grew a couple phenos of that. They were all pretty much keepers, but I kept one around that I really liked that kept like it threw really big flowers. Really easy to grow. It does need quite a bit of extra food or top dress on that one. I noticed I would have to top dress quite a bit going into flower
interesting.
To make sure it had enough.
So it's it gobbles. It's a gobbler.
I guess you could say it's more of a heavy feeder. Yeah. But she will throw huge flowers, and the smells coming off are, you know, like a minty, skunky menthol kind of smell. It's hard, very hard to describe, but I really get like a pine tree menthol mint kind of smell taste coming from it myself, you know, and a couple people I talked to said they're somewhat getting that too. And our phenos look very similar. So there's a lot of consistency in that genetic pool, I guess.
Yeah, man. Fucking,
you know, talking to people and seeing their plants.
Oh, good Lord, man. Here's the thing. Like, legit is a strain that I could just smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke. And I'm saying that in a good
Definitely.
Way because like the, but also like I just run through it. Like it's not, it's so tasty and enjoyable that I just can continue.
Got a lot of flavor. Yeah.
Fucking consume it. It looks like it's available at Jinx Proof's Dank Bank. They're upgrading the site, so you have to do your order by email, but you can scroll down under strains and there's legit, and they've got some great pictures
of
legit.
I think actually some of my pictures might even be up there. I know they have my Ice Cream Dream on their site.
Oh, I bet I'm looking
at
some
right
now.
They had some legit pictures up there of mine, but I know they had another guy's legit up there.
Well,
too, but
this
we
one was taken in the dark.
The same, you know.
So I know it was you because you always take your pictures in the dark.
Yeah, I always in the dark.
So I think one of them is.
I'm the person that everybody's like, I don't do that. I'm always taking mine right before lights come on because they just look the best. You know, you can take them in the dark, take the flash, and you get the full picture of what it really looks like.
Fuck,
it's really hard
man.
To, you know, when I see like light pictures in the light, I just, it all looks green and the same to me. I want to see the different colors and expressions and, you know, see the details in it. So I always tell people, do it in the dark, do it right before your lights come on. You're not going to fuck nothing up.
Yep. That's exactly, I would agree with that. Especially if you time it like that, like you said,
yeah, don't go in the middle of your dark period.
Exactly.
To do it, but if you go right before your lights come on, it's perfect, you know, perfect time to go in there and do it.
Totally.
And you get a nice black background without having to have, you know, a black photography box and shit like that.
Oh, man. Tell me about legit. It looks like if someone's a fan of purple, they should be growing this strain because this thing purples up nice.
Yeah, it will. It purples up nicely. It stays some green, but it purples up beautifully, especially the bracts or, you know, the calyxes. They turn really, really purple.
Totally.
About midway into flower to the end, and it just keeps getting purple and purple and purple and packs on the trichomes. It's really, really frosty. So, you know, when you fill a bag up with it and you get down to the, you know, the last bit, it's going to have a lot of leftover trichomes in the bag.
Mm. Trichome coverage looks aplenty. I love the long leaf structure. Beautiful, spiky plant.
Definitely.
Doesn't look like the biggest yielder. Am I fair to say that?
It depends on the pheno. I have one pheno that'll throw huge flowers. And then I have another pheno where they're not as big of
a flower. Interesting. It says here on the site yield heavy. So maybe just these pictures that he's put up, it looks like yours are close, so it's harder to see, but the other pictures, I mean, they look like nice big filled out colas, but they don't look epically huge to me.
Yeah, no, they're I wouldn't say they're, you know, arm length or anything, but they're pretty, you know, pretty decent sized
interesting.
Colas.
But might have to do with the pheno as well.
Yeah, absolutely has to do with the pheno.
Okay.
Definitely does.
Interesting. So you said it's a feeder. You needed to dress it, top dress it. What else? Any peculiarities about this plant in particular?
No, I didn't see anything, anything off or anything weird with it at all. If you do tap it once, it, you know, you can kind of pull the branches out to the side. It'll make a really, really nice canopy very easily, that strain, at least the couple phenos that I had did. So it's very easy to train. You don't have to do a whole lot with it.
Nice.
It will get very thick. I think it, the last run, it was one of the thickest plants, like, you know, the trunks of the plant, the stalk, definitely one of the thickest ones I had. And it, probably because it likes to eat so much, but, it's a very easy strain to grow too. You know, all these are going to be very easy for people to grow.
Fuck yeah, man. Love it. Yeah. Big fan of the legit. I would say it is potent. It gets you stoned, but like, it's so tasty and enjoyable that you're going to blow through it. If you're looking,
you're going to smoke it.
Yeah. If you're looking to conserve, I might not pick it for that reason,
no.
But goddamn, all of Jinx's strains are so palatable. That's really, and I know the 9-pound hammer is really strong, but like, that's why I love his strains, is they're palatable.
And they're super affordable. That's why I wanted to bring him up, because,
nice,
you know, for $40, I want to say, and don't quote me, but I know it was when I bought packs from him in the past, for $40, you can get a pack of seeds from him. So it's really easy to get quality, top of the line genetics for somebody who's starting out, and you're not going to break the bank.
That's crazy,
man.
Spend
a bunch of money doing it, dude.
That's wild.
So, yeah, it's like $40 for a 6-pack of seeds. So, I mean, you know, you're not getting a ton of seeds, but it's very much worth the money. And like I said, you don't have to have a lot of money, so you can get a couple packs at once, or just get your one pack, you know, but it definitely gives you the opportunity to get a couple packs and get some variety instead of, you know, spending $100 to $200 on a single pack. So
nice. Nice. Cool. Yeah. I would say again, this is like a 9 out of 10 strain. And I'm only saying 9 out of 10 for all of these, because I hope one day I'll find out amazing 10 out of 10. I haven't found it yet. You reach a certain level of dankness and it's like, it just really doesn't get better. You can match it, but it doesn't get much better.
Hard. Yeah. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. And I feel like everybody, a lot of people have this, but I have a 10 out of 10. I have 2 10s out of 10s that I've had, but I don't think I'll ever get them again.
Exactly. Maybe that's why they're 10s.
Super, super hard to get. You know, these were family strains that my uncles grew, and I just don't know how I would get them back. The other people that may have them now, I don't communicate with. It just, I don't think I'll ever get them back, but they were something special. And even some of the stuff I grow out now, I think even looks better than that, but it still doesn't, like you said, it sits at a 9. It's, everything can even out, but it's very hard to get to that. That special one that you may have had that one or two times, you know?
Yeah. And then there's the level of nostalgia that might put it over the edge for you. So
absolutely,
it all depends.
I believe it does, for sure.
Totally. Love it. Well, let's wrap it up here. Let's move. Is that a good wrap on legit before we move on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Purple Caper is the final breeder. That's right. Key Lime Skittles. We love Purple Caper. He was so kind to give some seeds to our veteran members. We're going to do another veteran giveaway because we just opened up membership. If anyone signed up and you are a veteran, stay tuned. We will be asking you to contact us. We'll get you some seeds. We'll do something fun. But shout out to Purple Caper for throwing us seeds for our veteran members. They were so quick to do that. I think it's just one dude, right?
He's super nice guy. He sends me seeds to do giveaways on my page.
That's cool,
I do some for veterans, for local people, for everybody on my Instagram page. He's a really, really, really nice guy and helps out a lot of people. So
totally.
And everything he has is amazing. I mean, he's out of California. I know he uses a lot of, he works with Dark Heart Nursery. I think he gives them clones, or he may get clones from them. I know that pretty much everything, all his genetics are mapped out. So
yeah, totally.
you know what you're getting. You can look at his stuff and say, oh, the parent of this is this. It really is Skittles, or it really is cookies, or whatever you're wanting to get. Like, it's mapped out genetically through DNA and proven what it is. So, I mean, he has proven breeders. He's a very, very good breeder. He's just kind of low key. I think it's just the one guy,
totally,
like you said, or maybe only a few people or something. It's not a huge company. So
totally. Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at all the different Skittles strains. We're talking today about Key Lime Skittles, but it looks like he's got a bunch of different Skittles strains. God, dude, he's got some impressive shit. But anyways, Key Lime Skittles is what you grew out. Talk to me about Key Lime Skittles. What did you like about it? What was special about it?
Yeah, so in veg, you know, I had those in beds. I did not have to do anything with them whatsoever. I didn't have to top dress or anything. So I don't necessarily want to call them a light feeder, but I didn't have to heavy feed them or top dress. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I didn't have to do anything. They stayed nice and green the entire time.
Nice.
I will say the only thing about them is, you know, it's key lime pie crossed to a Skittles cut. And key lime pie is they call it a gourmet phenotype of Girl Scout cookies.
Uh-huh.
So it's not going to throw giant flowers, you know? So the only thing with the key lime Skittles is it's not going to, at least the three girls that I had, three phenos, all threw a lot smaller cookie type flowers. But they are just absolutely covered in frost and super purple, and it's worth it for the small flowers. It, you know, like I said, in veg, it's an easy grower. You don't have to do a whole lot. It stays nice and green. It flowers pretty fast. I don't know if you saw the pictures on my page, but you know, it'll throw a lot of purples, some pinks. Two of the phenos I had, some of the trichomes were purple, which is always fun if you're making hash, you know, if you're a big hash maker and you're looking for something that has purple trichomes, you know, you might find something in that pack. But every pheno I got from the three were keepers. They're all just some of the frostiest plants I've probably grown.
Damn.
You know,
ringing endorsement.
Definitely some of the frostier ones. Cause I don't know. It's just something about them. They threw those smaller buds, but they threw a lot of frost on them. And it, you know, they all came out gassy or limey or, you know, very, very similar in taste. So consistent wise, I did have one pheno out of the three that did throw bigger flowers, but they still weren't huge.
Okay.
You know,
okay. So not necessarily like you're going to get a bad yield, but don't expect, like we said before, those big, huge,
don't expect
fat
donkey dicks or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're not going to get huge flowers. They're definitely cookie, quote unquote, cookie
right
type flowers that you would see on like Girl Scout cookies, but they're everywhere and they're super frosty and they are very, very dense. So they do, you know,
nice,
kind of compensate a little bit, but yeah, you're not going to get huge yields out of it, but it is definitely for a grower who's looking to grow something for themselves that's going to be very good and top-notch stuff, and they're not worried about getting a huge yield. They just want some quality medicine for
fucking
themselves.
And good.
And to grow
overview,
a very
man
photogenic plant, too. It's very, very photogenic. All of these I talk about are photogenic, but this one tends to be very photogenic with the colors, so.
You picked six strains, man. Sorry, slipped up there. A lot of S's for the key lime Skittles. The consumption of the Skittles, my God, man, it's so fucking enjoyable. I love the key lime Skittles. What do you think about smoking it and the taste?
Oh, it's definitely one of my favorites. It's one I wish I would have grown more of. And this round I have one that's getting scrogged out that I can hopefully get a bigger yield off and give it another run this time. Cause I want to keep this one around for a while and keep running it. It tastes good. It smokes good. It looks good. You know, there's just nothing, like I said, the only small complaint would be bud size, but I don't really grow for weight. So I'm not super concerned about that, you know?
Fuck yeah, man. Checks all the boxes otherwise. And I believe,
I don't
want to talk out of turn here, especially if I'm comparing him to the other breeders, because I don't know their practices, but I believe Purple Caper only grows in super soil. And I wonder if that has a reason why it did so well, just translating right into your super soil. I could be wrong about that. I don't know if you have any insight.
That would be interesting. I do not know that for sure, but if he is, that would be interesting, because I have really good germination rates, and just I've never had any problems with his stuff. It all comes out just
that would make
absolutely
sense. Absolutely
beautiful.
Interesting. What a powerful overview. We got the Granny Skunk, wonderful strain by Duke Diamond. peculiar in that it doesn't mind low light. If you're looking for some outer plants, if you've got a light that you don't think is powerful, Granny Skrunk, great option. We discussed the Munson, fucking love the Munson, powerful, potent strain, grows short. If you're short on height, if you're growing in a cabinet, if you're growing in a armoire or something, maybe Munson is the right choice for you by Duke Diamond Genetics. You brought up Legit, love Legit by Jinx Proof, maybe the strain that I smoke the fastest. Beautiful strain, purple strain if you're into the purple. If you're into Jinx Proof and everything he's doing, if you're into lower price, and again, supporting this guy who you know does work for autism and then, like you said, yeah, he's just cool too. So that was great that you threw that in there. And then finally, I'm glad you included Purple Caper, who we've worked with before, gets a ton of good reviews by my listeners, and his strain, Key Lime Skittles. Looking at all these strains, Skittles, it looks great. But like you said, easy to grow, frosty nuggets. Again, supporting a small breeder. You picked four great strains, Rich. Thanks for bringing the content again, bringing the heat again. We appreciate you sharing your knowledge with the GrowPass community.
I appreciate you guys too, man. Definitely. Everybody, the listeners, you, Rob, everybody.
Fuck yeah. Everything's going good. Got to stay safe out there, everyone. Got to stay. That's the program for today. Thank you for tuning in. Like I said, more GrowCast coming at you this weekend. We do appreciate your understanding. Quick shout out to AC Infinity, the best grow fans on the market, industry leaders in ventilation and cooling. ACInfinity.com, promo code GrowCast15 saves you 15% on your AC Infinity fans. Check out their Cloud Line series. They are seriously the best fans you can use in your grow. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting. Every situation, every setup for all your consulting needs, start to finish. They've got you covered, start to finish. Start to Finish 710 on Instagram. That's Start the number 2, Finish 710. And finally, shout out to Jay Blank, who does the beat. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you're doing amazing things in your grow. I'm getting along just fine in mine. Thank you for asking. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy. Stay positive. We'll see you next time on GrowCast. Bye-bye, everyone.